The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
Now, first it was big boobs, then it was big bums, and now big lips are the feature most wanted by young women. Teenage reality star Kylie Jenner caused controversy when she used surgery to transform her naturally thin lips into a pillow-like pout. Experts warn that chasing beauty to this extent is the mark of low self-esteem and unhappiness, or could even be a psychological disorder called body dysmorphia. But girls everywhere want to copy her blow-up doll look, and they're getting, work done to attain it. With many cosmetic procedures now carried out using safe, natural products, is there really need for such concern? I mean, isn't it just maybe makeup for the 21st century? Or is there something more sinister behind it? Well, Dr. Peter Prendergast is president of the European College of Aesthetic Medicine and Surgery and director of Venus Medical Cosmetic Surgery in Dundrum. And he's here with us now. Peter, welcome to the programme. How many are going, in percentage-wise, over the last few years, are going for lip enhancement and why?
Good morning, Dave. Well, certainly in my practice, in our clinic, we've seen a dramatic rise in the number of requests for lip enhancement. The figure is about over 80% from last year. So wow. I've done already more lip enhancements this year compared to last year, the whole of last year. So it is on the rise. Non-surgical procedures in general are on the rise. And 85% of all cosmetic procedures are now non-surgical. But I, from my experience, I do see a certain surge of interest, particularly in women looking for enhancement and plumping of the lips.
What do you do?
First, we assess the patient, as always. So we determine what they're looking for. Young patients tend to be slightly different than older patients. So younger patients, I find they 18 to 25-year-olds, they know what they want. They want lip enhancement. They ask for that. Older people, 30 to 50 or older than that, will usually just look for a general rejuvenation. But first, we image the face. I use a special imaging system called Vectra. So we can actually take a 3D image of the face. We can simulate lip enhancement so the patient can see what they look like before they actually decide to do anything. And then the treatment itself, what I use exclusively is a very safe, natural product called hyaluronic acid. So it's a molecule that you find naturally in the body anyway. It's reversible, it's non-permanent, so it breaks down over time. And we inject this under local anesthetic, so it's painless, into different parts of the lip, depending on what we're trying to achieve. So the border of the lip, the body of the lip, sometimes even the little columns that go from the lip to the nose to improve the Cupid's bow. So it takes about 20 minutes.
Okay, those pictures that you show people in terms of like, this is what you will look like afterwards. It's not like when you go into your local burger joint and you see this fantastic looking burger up on a huge big sort of neon sign and then you buy the thing and it doesn't really look the same thing.
That's a very good point, because we have to be, managing expectations is very important in aesthetics and in aesthetic medicine. So I always strive to, enhance, but be realistic. So it's to be honest, most of the patients anyway, they're looking for subtle results. Many of them are a little concerned or scared that they might end up, having a trout pout. So it's all about conservative, looking natural. Many of them don't tell their friends, family or spouses. Yeah. So they want to look really natural.
Right, okay. What is the demographic, by the way, mainly? What did you say earlier on? I know like there are those who know what they want, 18 to 25, etc. Yeah. But I presume patients mostly young women, are they?
Not really, actually. I treat about 50-50 younger girls, women, and then women who are, 40 to 50 or older. But the type of lip enhancement would be different. So the ladies who are, 40 or 50 or older, usually it's all about a natural restoration of volume rather than plumping up the lips or a softening of lines above the lips.
Natural restoration of volume. Is it fair to say that lips get thinner as you age?
That's exactly right. There's various fat compartments in the face, and studies have shown, very elaborate cadaver studies show that all of these little fat compartments actually atrophy or thin out over time. Mm. And they atrophy at different rates. So that's what aging mostly is, actually. It's an involutional or deflation process, and the lips are no exception. So the lips do thin out over time as well.
Well, for the younger ones, is a lot of it the Kylie Jenner effect or the selfie taking effect. She had this when she was about 17, and she afterwards, did not look as she might have looked if she hadn't done it. Yeah. A roundabout way of saying she looked blinking unrecognizable.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an increased awareness among younger people of cosmetic procedures through, you know, celebrity news and reality TV and all of the social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and all of these things. Many of the celebrities, you know, share their experience having cosmetic treatments. So this is something, and they take selfies all of the time, like Kim Kardashian and Kylie Jenner. The selfie era is an interesting one. There was a recent poll in the UK that showed that the average 16 to 25-year-old woman spends over 5 hours a week taking selfies. It's about 48 minutes a day. And that of 1,000 women between the ages of 18 and 35 surveyed, 40% of them take 6 to 10 selfies before they actually post one, before they're happy with the one that they select.
No wonder your business is booming.
Well, the other problem, in many ways, it can be a problem because of the technology, you know, the very high resolution cameras that, you know, in the mobile phones and so on. So they see themselves in a different light.
Okay, are there other reasons why women would get this done? I mean, the basic desire to attract somebody from the opposite sex, surely that's top of the list.
Yeah, it's. I mean, women choose to enhance their appearance a lot more than men, and men, you know, and they do this because it's a fundamental evolutionary desire to be attractive for women, to attract a mate. And studies show that men place more importance on physical appearance of their mate than women do. And studies also show that standards of beauty in women represent cues to reproductive capacity or reproductive health. So men are attracted to these cues, like full lips, full breasts, you know, clear, smooth skin, clear eyes, and an optimum waist-to-hip ratio.
This waist-to-hip ratio, you'd think that guys cannot possibly be computing this when they meet somebody for the first time in a bar, but subliminally, they kind of are.
Absolutely, and there's many, many studies that prove that they, you know, they men prefer, without knowing it, subconsciously, they prefer a waist-to-hip ratio of 0.7. So it's not necessarily all about being really skinny or, you know, or the weight of our body mass index of the patient. It's really about the curvature and the ratio of the waist to the hip, and men are...
I'm wondering, have you just dissed or explained Kim Kardashian?
I think
you've explained it.
Well, I think so, but, you know, one of the problems, of course, and, you know, I suppose one of the concerns is that media of all sorts can influence self-image and sometimes can be a bit unhealthy, because what young women are looking at these images is often photoshopped and airbrushed. And it's interesting, some of the top leading fashion and beauty magazines are reputed to take about 6,000 photos of their top models before they select a handful. So what we actually see in magazines and on the internet are the, you know, the most attractive models and the most attractive poses, and potentially airbrushed and photoshopped as well. But it is true that, yes, this, you know, the curvature is an important
feature. Curvature, bums, breasts, all the rest of it, and the ratio, as you call it, in terms of hips, etc. But I presume, you know, you can't deny, even though it mightn't seem to be directly the thing, that one of the most sensual aspects of a woman's body is her lips.
That's true. It's, you know, in France, they call it the kissing surface. It is something that we're naturally attracted to, and within reason, proportions are important. You know, you mentioned Kylie Jenner. I think that she's obviously enhanced her lips. She's injected fillers in her lips, I think, in the last year or so. I think for her, because she had a strong chin, it actually improved the lower, the balance of her lower face, improved the proportions, and potentially even made her nose look a little bit more refined. So this can all be done without surgery. I think she's a little young. I don't think she's 18 yet. And, you know, this is her in 2015. We just have to wait to see what she's going to be like in another couple of years and overdoing
you see, all
it.
Of this is relative, isn't it? Like, you say the word improved, and like that, you know, improved might be a very different thing to some people. Like, you know, and I might ask the question, is it natural? I mean, like, what is natural? Or like, you know, is natural the way it should be even? You know, what do I mean? If I asked you a question, is it natural? How would you answer that?
Well, I think there are many explanations to natural. Like, I use a natural filler, okay? So the filler that I use, the molecule is
your end result, the thing in your head, that you wanted to look natural?
Totally.
You still wanted to look different, so therefore it's not natural.
Well, I have many patients who come in, they don't tell their spouses they've had anything done. Yeah. They put their flawless complexion and their line-free skin down to creams and sleeping and drinking lots of water. And that's the beauty of the less invasive treatments now, as opposed to surgery.
So the husband will notice without realising he notices. Or he doesn't realise what it is, he notices.
That's what we frequently hear in the clinic, that they just said, oh, they look good, and they buy the patient more creams because they think that it's the creams that are doing the trick.
Okay, and the Vectra thing that you call is the thing. This is how it's going to look afterwards.
It's a software program. It's very sophisticated, but we can peel the skin. We can add volume in the cheeks, add volume in the, you know, we can lift the jawline and do all of these things.
What about the cost and the longevity? How much is the cost?
Fillers for the lips cost between 400 and 500 euros. The filler
for both lips?
Yeah, of course.
Not for each lip.
Yeah, in fact, that's a good point because the proportions we need to keep in correct. But yeah, they last about 8 months, sometimes longer, up to a year or even longer.
And what happens after a year? Do you have to keep doing it? Because otherwise, gone.
Yeah.
Do they go back to nothing pretty quick?
They go back to the way they were. So, you know, the reason people like these treatments and come back, about 90% of patients come back, is because they like the results, not because it's addictive.
But there is an element of addiction, isn't there? Like, well, if I don't get this done, look, like, you know, especially if you do it for 4 or 5 years, do we want to go back to making them look like they were 6, 7 years ago?
Well, that's one argument that you know, the aesthetic industry is creating a desire to look good, but yeah. It's an inherent biological evolutionary thing. They just now have tools to be able to leverage off this and you know, make themselves more attractive.
Should you protect your lips from the sun in a different way than anything else? And if so, how does one do that?
Oh, absolutely. You should protect, you know, your skin everywhere from the sun. And there are chapsticks, lipsticks that have SPF, sun protection factor of 15 or 30. So definitely you should.
Lips, they don't sweat, do they? So they dry out faster.
They do dry out faster. And, you know, licking the lips and dehydration and sun and all of these things will make dehydration worse. So
when people use the phrase lip plumper, what is a, is that a thing or is, you know?
It is many things. You know, women are very skilled at enhancing their appearance with lipstick, with lip liner to make them appear plumper, appear more, you know, voluptuous and redder and so on.
But and do you tell any of your, I better not say patients, customers, whatever the word is, do you tell them that, like, you know, that, you know, it might be that they'll get a lot more chapped in a very kind of cold wind, or it might take a lot longer to apply lipstick, you're going to be using a lot more?
I tell every patient that they should wear sunscreen every single day, you know, summer and winter, even in Ireland. You know, a lot of people think that they won't get sun exposure or sun damage through the clouds, but they do. So SPF is a very important part of, you know, what we do in terms of topical care can do at home.
And the change over the years, has there been a sea change in how we view cosmetic surgery? And I'm saying that knowing damn well there has in some ways, because, you know, it used to be something people kept very quiet. Young people now are very happy to openly, you know, speak up about it or boast about it, even whatever, about the work they have done. Is this the case that you found? Yeah, there's no stigma as there used to be. Well, certainly not with what you're talking about here.
I think it really depends on the culture. I think in Ireland, still, I feel that a lot of men and women prefer to keep their cosmetic surgery experiences to themselves, and we have to respect that as doctors, obviously, in terms of privacy at the clinic. But for the non-surgical, like Botox and fillers treatments, many of the women I see are recommended by friends. So there is this indicates there is definitely a discussion going on between family and friends as to what they've had done. Younger people too are more open to talk about less invasive things when the celebrities come out and describe their experiences having treatments, and they probably, many of them, go ahead because there's less financial and emotional commitment having something that, it'll, you know, is temporary, is perceived to be, you know, much less invasive than having surgery. But in other cultures it's different. I mean, in Iran, having cosmetic surgery is seen as an indicator of elevated social status. So women in Iran, for example, who have a nose job, a rhinoplasty, will happily parade around with the bandages on their nose for even much longer than the surgeon advises them.
Making the statement.
Absolutely.
That they could afford it, etc. By the way, you're a very handsome man yourself, Peter. Have you ever had anything done? Look at him pursing his lips.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not lip fillers, I have to add.
Right.
But Botox, Botox infrequently. You can see it's
well
worn off.
By the way, the Botox thing, are you talking, that's the forehead thing, is it? It's not always forehead. Sorry, face thing.
I mean, Botox is can be used.
But you know what I mean? Like, if somebody does the Botox thing. I remember Cliff Richard talking about something. It's you don't get lines in your forehead or whatever, and then that happens for 6 months, a year, two years. And to go back to that question I asked earlier on, is it very difficult to stop taking Botox or using Botox in that, like, suddenly, whack, wow, look at her, look at him.
As in the difference when it wears off?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not difficult, but it's like anything that, you know, if you look good, you feel good. And people want to feel good. So it improves quality of life. So that's why people come back for it again. There is a point, of course, where people, I see sometimes women who are unduly concerned with perceived flaws, or they're trying to look like somebody else, or, you know, this would raise a red flag for me, and I wouldn't treat everybody that asks for Botox, of course.
And how often would you have had it, and why, and have you ever stopped for a long time?
Me personally, I've had it a handful of times. I haven't had it probably for 6 or 8 months now, and you can see the crow's feet coming back, unfortunately. But for men, it's different to women. I mean, there are aesthetic ideals. For men, the brow position, for example, should be horizontal and lower. For women, it should be more arched. So there's various ways to tweak Botox so that you get the desired aesthetic result.
And is it better, do you think, as a society, which I think it is, like that we're not as kind of stigmatized by this kind of stuff that we were years ago, and to hell with it, you know, if it makes you feel good.
Absolutely. I think it's particularly the non-surgical things, it's almost like the new makeup.
Yeah.
You know, women just, you know, they get...
Yeah, that's what I said earlier on. So are there cases, by the way, where you would say, listen, I'm really sorry, I'm glad you came in here, but absolutely no, we're not doing this?
Absolutely, yes. I personally wouldn't treat a girl below the age of 18. I mean, the vast majority of women that I would see would be, you know, over 20 years of age. And then if there are any... you know, concerns again that people are, you know, too concerned about something that really I can't see. That would be concerning. And I certainly, that's why as doctors we have to, you know, be screening, and we have to assess the patient properly to determine if they are suitable.
And like, there are a list of people that people can say, like in terms of those who have, I better not say have any work done necessarily, but sensual lips of like a top five: Beyonce, Jessica Alba, Cheryl Cole, Scarlett Johansson, Angelina Jolie. And I can see what they mean with all of them, all right, no question. But would you say Angelina's had anything done, or is that as natural as we do?
I'm sure they've all had something done. You know, the beauty of these treatments now is that we can do so many things. We can combine treatments that nobody, it's almost impossible to tell if somebody's had something done. And that's the goal. They just look good, you know. We have to be careful with certain, you know, people who are in the public, obviously actresses who have to use their expressions a little bit more than others. So Botox, for example, there would be something we have to be particularly careful with, so we get a very natural result, and so people don't really know or can't tell.
Right, yeah. Because there was a survey done where it said the waitresses who wore red lipstick got much bigger tips.
I'm not surprised.
No, I'm sure you're not, indeed. Absolutely. Well, listen, well done, Peter. Thank you very much indeed. That's Dr. Peter Prendergast, President of the European College of Aesthetic Medicine and Surgery and Director of Venus Medical Cosmetic Surgery in Dundrum. Just on that one, by the way, the European College of Aesthetic Medicine and Surgery. That is a seen thing now, aesthetic medicine, in terms of like, that's slightly new to me. Like people are more open to say, yeah, I want to get this thing done. Like, I mightn't need it in terms of prolonging my life, but medicine doesn't always have to be about preserving your life.
No, it is aesthetics, obviously, is an art as much as it is a science, and it's very multidisciplinary. So you have doctors from various fields who, you know, start doing aesthetic medicine, some doing it do it exclusively, like myself, and it is an art. So like any art, the more you do it over time, the better you get it.
And also subliminally and in reality, you're making people feel better.
That's true. So it is treating healthy people but improving quality of life.
Brilliant. Peter, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Dave.